Hello, everyone. It's that time again. I have my goldfish crackers and Coke here. It's time. Take a sip and get ready, because the final qualifier recording for GGW9 is upon us all. I'm going to start out with VOC's gigantic fucking word file, because you know it's VOC. Nisha, you're up first. Okay, the fact that you went above and beyond and gave us visuals was fantastic, no matter how you look at the content itself. But up until the last diary entry, I was not sold on this story at all. It was only after you revealed that the person writing the diary was the ghost that I started to think, this was actually fucking radical. It took me a few minutes of contemplation before I became impressed with the story as a whole, though. And I still have a couple of questions. First, why does the character's handwriting change in April? If it had changed the day she hit her head, I might not have questioned it. But that's the point where she started writing after she died. But it didn't change until a couple entries after she died. So I'm wondering what the hell is up with that. Second, goddammit, Misha, typos. There was one entry where I let it slide because it was on purpose. But every other entry that had typos was just a product of careless editing. I even made sure to check the written entries for each typo to see if you'd done it there too. And you hadn't. Except for the one spot that it was supposed to be on purpose. Now back to the other shit. This was fucking awesome because once I realized she'd been writing from the dead, I was actually able to forgive you for being more boring than the Paranormal Activity movies. Because let's face it, these movies were fucking terrible and they didn't live up to the hype. But it was also not awesome because I feel like there could have been more to it. This is supposed to be the girl's diary. I don't know what most people write in their diaries, and God, I'd hate to find out, but usually, aren't they the place for deep, dark secrets? I feel like we don't know anything about this main character except for the age, sex, and location that, you know, we get from her obituary. While that matters, the biggest piece of information we glean from this is that she's dead, and she must have died the day she hit her head. I feel like there was just not enough personality built up for me to grasp a firm connection with a ghost writer. Ha! Ghost writer. Of course, with all that bitching and complaining having been said, I still think that the idea of this was really fucking sweet. It just leaves your execution that leaves me feeling a little lacking. There needs to be some serious polishing. For real. Lutora. This entire fucking poem is really fucking long, a run-on sentence. I wish there was room in that statement for more F-words, because that is how angry it makes me to read a poem of that length when it contains only one period. Wing, give her the death stare that nobody can see, but everyone imagines is really fucking scary and never wants to encounter in real life. The death stare would actually belong to Trigger, and now it is being executed. Please and thank you, received. Line number 4 makes me want to grind my teeth together. First of all, if you break from your chosen form of narration in any way, you need to separate that tidbit or quote or whatever from the rest of the poem. It just reads funny. That's what it is. The louder, love, blah 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 is just too direct in comparison to the way you start the poem. It comes off like it wants to read as a quote rather than just part of the narration. There's nothing to separate that new idea. I get it. It goes with what came before it, but there's also something about it that screams, make me stand apart because I didn't fit like a puzzle piece, I fit like waffles and fried chicken. Even just italics would have set it off just the right amount, but the problem is that it's too hard to tell where those italics should have stopped, but just end the line would have sufficed, and I wouldn't have even questioned it. Also, capitalization of proper nouns is a thing. You have a problem with this in poetry. A pet name is a proper noun. Love should have been capitalized. I hate the use of both words whilst and while. I don't know why, but okay. It creates a certain amount of imbalance. There's the answer. Pick one. Stick with it. Whilst is prettier, if you're looking for an opinion on which to shoot for. I'm a little confused on the whole vomiting god and imbrued constellations bit. Imbrued constellation sounds really pretty in a morbid sort of way when paired with a marring beneath the flesh. It makes me think of bruises shaped like constellations. Then I try to put it in context with vomiting god, and I'm left with this really disturbing image of some freak fetish couple who find their heaven by throwing up on one another while they're doing it in the back of a car, and apparently it's to die for. So, imagery fail, maybe? Just a little bit. Yeah. This sort of reminds me that I have a challenge for you. I've noticed that space sky type imagery is your favorite, but I can't remember the last piece I've read that you didn't contain it. So may I challenge you? Just please, do something that doesn't contain said imagery. It's not that you don't write well, it's just that it's kind of getting as old as your overall theme, given that they seem to come hand in hand these days. I did like your line breaks, though. Those were nice. With some periods, they'd be fabulous. Not just nice. Time to take a sip of the old Coke. Some good shit. Cal, did you have a typo in your title? I'm not familiar with pangolins. That's even how you pronounce them. But every time I Google the word the way you spelled it, I'm not finding the animal's name spelled with an E. Also, I think the pun was lost on me because I just didn't understand it. The pun was quite vague, and if I were a reader who just happened to come across this, I might not have spent as much time as I did trying to decipher the lines. It took me many read-throughs to grasp the imagery here and the underlying story trying to be told. I kind of feel as if I'm still missing some of the pieces, possibly because the poem was made to be paired with another. Unfortunately, I don't have that comparison to work with, so I feel that by withholding the twin, you might have hurt yourself a little. I mean, I think I have at least a good enough grasp on the content to say that I understand the gist of what you're getting at, but I'm not feeling as if your imagery matches up to the story I think you're trying to tell. Go through this line by line and look at every phrase, both on its own, as is part of a whole, to make sure that some of the images don't clash. This reads pretty smooth, for the most part, so your line breaks are getting much better. You plastered a random yet on the end of one of your lines. It's icky and stuck out there like that. You could have just left it out and started the next stanza. Would have been the same effect. And the fifth line in your third stanza is much longer than the rest of them, so it makes the appearance of the poem a little awkward. You incorporated the prompt that doesn't exist? What the hell? So good. There's no prompt. What fucking prompt? So good job on that. But your use of it in any way doesn't get you points or lose you any points since it was optional. Oh, there's some optional thing from her. Okay, I get it. Gonna take a bite of the old goldfish now, too. Frosted. This wasn't anything special. It was simple and kind of cute. The end made me giggle, though it probably shouldn't have, but there was nothing fabulous about it. Your language was nothing to applaud. It was simplistic and every piece of imagery in this was rather bland. The idea was nice, could have been awesome, really, but your execution leaves me wanting. You had so much potential here to take the dark imagery somewhere fantastic, and you just didn't. I'm not impressed. Sorry. And while I'm here, I might as well say that both PK and I strongly disagreed with this, but for a wildly different reason. Now, with that being said, I'm going to go on to Phoenix. I'm sorry, but the way you presented your work tells me that you just didn't care about it enough to polish it before you submitted it. And that doesn't leave me wanting to put in the effort to give it a full, proper judgment. But I have to do it, so I'm just going to ramble. Your mechanics in this are not very good, and half the words are abstract. You don't convince me with your imagery that these are the most beautiful eyes you've ever seen, so I just don't give a shit about them. Your rhyme scheme is simple and unimpressive, and I get what you're trying to do by making the title pretty color. But in this case, that particular shade of blue just hurts my eyes and doesn't really line up anyway. So selling yourself here means putting in your best effort into the things you shared with others, not just submitting something on a whim, which is really what I expect happened here. Gabe sighs and pinches the bridge of her nose in utter frustration. I was going to say punches, but that would have been painful. I don't like being expected to put the fucking effort into judging something from an author who fucking states that they are submitting it just for the fuck of it. Someone who doesn't even want to win and has better fucking things they should be doing with their time. Guess what? I have better fucking things to do too. It's one thing to edit down to the deadline and put all your effort into something and then run out of time with, you know, before all the typos are gone. But just submit anyway because you actually crave proper feedback. You know, it's another thing to barely bother. If you're not here to win and you're not here to receive that feedback, then why the hell are you here? Seriously, I'm not going to bother if you're not. Damn. And now I need to find the other one. A sickly PK judges Andres. Gabe, it's just so wordy. Are you Dickens? I'm like 80% sure that's the wrong slate. But even my hair hurts, and I'm just not gonna look it up. And that's it. Phoenix. Rhyming couplets are one of the most basic building blocks of poetry. And love poetry is one of the most traditional themes, but I kind of want more. Take the basics idea and give me something that will hold my meaning. Will hold my meaning. Will hold any meaning whatsoever to someone who's not an emotional stakeholder in the situation. This poem was essentially all about you, really. And it didn't reach out to the audience, the readers, the judges. Gonna take another sip of the Coke. Misha. I'm so confused talking about the beauty of Illinois. Wing might have other opinions because of brainwashing, but Wing is wrong. Illinois is weird and flat, and the drivers are rude. Now, aside, Illinois is flat, and that's a garage door opening. Illinois is flat in the north and kind of in the central. So you get down to the south, you know, it gets a little weird. But anyway, the drivers are rude. But it helped out in Minnesota. The setup of the story was pretty good, but the pacing was off. Not a lot before the incident, so the shift wasn't as obvious, and then everything was just a very rapid escalation into menace. Utora. I'm not sure what inbrewed constellations are supposed to be. Like, has someone done a job with some spray paint? Bruises? Probably bruises from context. Maybe. I like the line breaks, though. It's 2-for-2. Cal. Penguins are cute. I love them. I like the line breaks on this better, though I don't like the yet at the end of that stanza. Sort of trips it up so it's a more rushed pause. Frosted. I really like the rhythm of this. It contributes to how creepy this is. And it's very on point. And like, I was gonna say something about how most rapists are known to their victims, but that's not the point, is it? It's the boogeyman. And now, without further ado, I click over to the giant Word file. Scroll in. Gabe, pretty much everyone here knows that I'm a verbose motherfucker when I wanna be. Generally speaking though, I'm a verbose motherfucker because I like to keep my vocabulary diverse. This just seems a bit over the top to me in terms of execution. My major gripe is that if you're gonna go with a flowery language, it needs to add in some way. It needs to paint the scene, make it heavy, something like that. He just seems flowery for the sake of flowery. In fact, I'm not even sure. It might just be you mocking the fact that we've had rather lackluster entries, and so here's this flamboyant shit. Another part of me wondered if this was just ripping a bit at Tolkien's narrative ramblings. I'll give props where props are due, I guess. I mean, I think you've put your writing displays on ability. Your writing displays on ability. My God, I clearly need more caffeine. Your fucking writing abilities on display. I blame this verbose fucking narration. It's warped my mind, okay? But I think you went way off on the entertainment mark with this, and I'm also not quite convinced on the whole, I'm just gonna submit this thing because everyone else should beat it. That's not really the point of the contest. You should be putting your best foot forward to kick all kinds of ass. Yeah. It's GGW. Moving on. Phoenix. Hey, Mitch. We go way back, but I'm sorry to say this ain't gonna cut it here. Your word repetition up in this is incredibly distracting. It's a 56-word fucking piece, and 5% of them are eyes. The other thing that eats me up is the rhyme scheme really breaks the rhythm. Reading this aloud makes things sound like it's extremely disjointed. On a subject level, there isn't really anything to work with here either. There isn't any building imagery. I'm not getting any connection to you as a poet or to the reason why you give a damn about this person. In a nutshell, the staples of poetry are being tossed to the ground, and that doesn't really bode very well. Frosted. You know, this might just win for me. I frankly love this. The rhyme scheme and rhythm are fantastic. Now, when I first started reading this, I frankly was like, okay, what's the point? I think I was in that mode of VOC where I was like, this is really not very impressive to me. But then something happened, with me anyway, and that was your last stanza. There's so many fucking ways that I can interpret that stanza, and that, like, fan of interpretation is what gives this its power. For starters, there's the obvious, which is what I think pretty much everyone picked up on. With the whole pepper spray, there's definitely a sexual assault rape vibe that can be explored with this. So that's obvious. But then, you can, you know, take it a little bit further. You can take it as a humanity as a whole being afraid at night and afraid of this boogeyman. You can even take it as the next one, humanity is its own boogeyman, and we're the root of our own problems. And then, of course, you can just say, well, we're the fucking attacker, and there you go. So, I think that with that, you know, up front, there isn't a whole lot going on here, and I think that's where you lost out with VOC, is that your front end, so to speak, was really lackluster. The back end, though, to me, was where some fucking magic happened, and you banked it, in my mind. Cal, imagery is great here, and I really like this whole offset rhythm thing I got from this one. I think the I miss as a single line isn't really all that necessary, and the fucking yet thing, pretty much we all hit up upon. I think this may lack a bit of that entertainment punch for me personally, but overall, you had a strong piece here going into the playoffs, so word. Utora, I'll be honest, whatever you were going for with this one, it just kind of blew right over my head. I mean, technically, the language sounds pretty and beautiful, particularly in the vomiting god line, but what the fuck does that mean? My general impression from this one is just, I see words for words' sake, and that's not the direction you want to go with the playoffs now here. On the plus side, however, it was refreshing to see something that was at least a step outside of your box. And for that, I'm most pleased. That being said, we had a tie between Frosted and who the hell else? I don't even know anymore. Oh, I didn't even read the last one. Misha. Maybe I should read Misha's. There were some typos in this, but I'm going to ignore that for a change. This was honestly, are you ready for this, the most creative thing that has ever been submitted to me in this contest. I don't really give a flying fuck what PK or VOC say on this one. I'm just straight up going to tell you, this was the most creative thing that has ever been submitted. I love the fact that there are actually images on the pages. It just makes things so much better. Now, while I kind of saw where this whole thing was going, you executed it in an entertaining way. The added plus, of course, is that I live in Illinois, and I know the history of Alton. So you hit it up there, too. You got me some entertaining creative wonder, you fucking spoke at least to one-third of your audience, and that's always a plus. Now, you've been pretty good with the whole entertainment thing throughout this contest, as far as I'm concerned. But, holy shit, you need to wrangle in the grammatical woes. VOC in particular is going to, like, nail you to a cross if you don't. The playoffs are now here. You've already gotten in. You just have to make sure your piece is up to snuff. Also, don't fucking preface things with, I'm not sure if this is good. Honestly, I'm tired of that crap. There's no room for pussy shit in the AGWC. The playoffs are here, bitches. It is time. And that being said, I'm going to take another sip of this Coke and lay down some, I want to say bad news, but it's not really bad news. So here's the deal. Generally speaking, we have 8 people in a GGW playoff. To be honest, I'm not giving a wild card this year, because fuck it. We've had 2 rounds where a person who has already won has won again, okay? So we're essentially down to 5, and the winners of this round, even if I take both of them, the 2 people who tied are also already in the playoffs. So that means there are only 4 people in this playoff session, which of course then leads to the question, well, what do? Especially considering that usually how this works is that you go from 8 to 4 to 2 and then you're done. So 3 rounds to get through, well, 3 playoffs. I think that makes sense, right? Like, that's pretty straightforward. So, Since there are only four, that begs the question, do we do something different? Do we cut it to only two playoff rounds? Do we keep the three and mix it up? And I think this is what I want to do. Instead of doing the top cut, which is essentially, oh, we have eight, we go to four, then we go to two. What I want to do is I want to keep the three-round framework and essentially have a bracket. So it's going to get a little bit complicated here. This is how it's going to work in my head. The four of you who made the playoffs, Cal, Misha, Frosted, Utora, you will each do the first playoff round prompt. These scores from this round will then be used to seed a bracket. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. The top person, 1, will face the bottom person, 4, in the second round of a playoffs in a direct head-to-head challenge. Likewise, so will number 2 and number 3. And the winner of those head-to-head challenges will face off in the finals. I feel like this is just fun times because it really is reflective about GGW1, and I'm all for throwing back to some old school. Now, I also realize this creates some potential for issue, but honestly, at this point, if you put your best work forward, you deserve to win, and that's really all there is to it. So, that being said, you know it's coming. I'm digging way down fucking deep. Get the hell off my audio file, you goddamn hippies.